world's on fire, our culture is disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. It's time.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed on this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Hey, good morning here. It's the second day of July. How can that be, man? I don't know what it's like where you guys are. We're in the heat that we're in right now here. Like today, it's going to be, let me look here. Mid-90s today. Humidity is like through. It's unbelievable, man. I feel bad for our dogs. Let's figure out, should we get the dogs inside here? Today's temperature is going to be 93. Wait, 93, 94 tomorrow. So after Friday, then we get a little bit of a break. Folks, that's pretty hot, you know. It's not, I guess we're approaching midsummer, but it's, man, it's it's hot. We're trying to get ready for Sky High. I got a lot of stuff I got to do up there, and it's almost oppressive. The dog lays near the fan. We got a fan running on the floor. Our dog's laying in front of the fan. It's crazy. So, hey, look, folks, you got to help us out. If you're coming to the event, please register. Please register. Here's one of the things. Look, some of you don't care about this, but some of you do. So let me say this real quickly, okay? I went one hotel, changed the hotel that we've been using, the Mel got for us. The rates just doubled. So in other words, if you haven't registered for a place to stay, your price just doubled. So I went out yesterday and trying to find another hotel for people who are coming to be able to stay, get a group rate. I'll find out more about it today. But yeah, they asked me that same question. How many are coming? I don't know. So I'll get 20 people who will, the weekend before, say we're coming. And then I'm supposed to get you a good, cheap place to stay. So the place we're looking at now is the closer, actually. Nice place. But I'm waiting to hear back on exactly what the rate is. So if you're coming, please, come on. Make the decision. Get off the pot, as they say. Yes, you're coming or not. No, you're not coming. Or I'm not going to feel bad that I didn't get you a good hotel rate. Okay. All right. Cool. Register. Okay. Spencer, pull that up there real quick. The event. The event is July 10, 11, and 12. And we're going to go visit the mounds and do all that kind of stuff. And it'll be great. It'll be great fellowship. And the meal ticket price is going to go up. And why do we do that? To get you to register early. Can you tell me where you can go and get four meals for $20? Anybody know where you can do that? Come on, man. Come on. Make my life easier. Let me know how many of you are going to come rolling in here, okay? Just come one day. Say, Coach, can we come for one day? Yeah, but you got to buy a meal ticket. That's all, okay? No, you buy a meal ticket that covers the whole thing. If you want to come back, you can get a meal every day. You can come back. But no, I'm not saying, of just want to come from one afternoon. Do I have to pay for a meal? Yeah. Well, you got to buy a meal ticket, so I know you can. Oh, my goodness, my goodness. Oh, hey, friends. My job is so hard. Let me explain to you why. My job is so hard. Hey, Jack, I'm going to talk about that here in a second. I get some of the stuff that you sent. Because whether we know this or not, the most diverse place in America. Are you looking at me? Because we're a bit big on diversity, right? It's our greatest strength, diversity. The most diverse place in America is Sunday morning. In American Christianity. Truth be, we don't really agree on much. The church doesn't really agree on much. That's why there's, as I said earlier, 42,000 denominations. I hear somebody saying, Coach, we've already been through this. This is so critical that you understand that. And we have people who are no longer with us here at Coach Dave Live because we touched on a subject that they didn't like. Because they're so deeply locked into their, can I say it, version of Christianity. It seemed to me if you think that your version of Christianity is right, that you'd stay and duke it out. You wouldn't suck on your thumb, take your ball and go home. Well, he doesn't believe this. Well, so 42,000 different denominations. Not everybody believes the same thing in Christianity, right? You don't have to be my twin to be my brother. And the reason there are 42,000 different denominations is because interpretations of what the scriptures say. Are we, folks, help me out here. Are we really in the end times? Are we really on the end times? Are the end times so near? How many of you go to bed at night and wonder if you'll still be here in the morning? I'm not talking about dying. I'm talking about all of a sudden you're raptured out. You go to bed at night and think that I'm going to be raptured. I may not be here tomorrow. I'm not going to mow the grass. I'm not going to be here tomorrow. Right? Do you live like that? I don't think you do. I really don't think you do. And if we were to ask ourselves, what is the mission of the church? Hey, Spence, just off the top of my head here, folks, you're seeing the Holy Spirit just spoke to my heart. Matthew chapter 5. And before I bring it up there, I'm just going to ask this question right out there right now. And I'm going to pause because I want to hear from some of you. And then when you come in, tell us your story, not your life story, okay? What's the mission of the church? I'm just going to pause there right now. When you go to church and I go to church, when you leave there, what are you supposed to do? I'm going to pause for a minute. Somebody come in and tell me. What is it you're supposed to do? When church is over on Sunday, what are you supposed to do for the next 6 days? Betty, what are you supposed to do? Go ahead.
Expand his kingdom, witness to others.
Hang on. Stop. Betty, I asked the question wrong. What does your pastor tell you you're supposed to do?
Not a thing. Let's go pack some bags for the weekend.
Okay, he doesn't really give you instructions over what you do, right? Somebody else, come on in. Someone, come on, tell me, what is it when you get done with church, what is it your pastor tells you to do? Ray, Pastor Ray, come on in, Ray.
Well, it should be, go ye out into all the world and proclaim the good news, not go ye in and keep it yourself.
Okay, so Ray, can I, and sing the multitudes, hang on, go ahead, Lorraine, quickly. Don't tell us a story, not your life story. What's your job?
He tells you either you can go buy my books in the bookstore and go do that, or you can go have coffee and donuts in the coffee shop. Go grab coffee and donuts.
And seeing the multitudes, this is Matthew chapter 5 now, folks. Thanks, Lorraine. That's right. There is no game plan. Hey, folks, there ain't no game plan at your church. Let's admit it. There's no game plan at your church unless it be maybe we'll feed the hungry on something. There's no game plan. There's no cultural mandate at all in the American church. None. Zero. Zero. Say, Coach, how do you know that? Did you watch what they just passed in Congress? Anybody watch what they just passed in Congress? What do you mean? And seeing the multitudes, he, that would be Jesus, went up into a mountain, and when he was set, then the disciples came to him. I want you to understand this, that the Sermon on the Mount was given to the disciples. See, they make us think here that there's 1,000 people sitting down at the bottom of the hill, and there is. But Jesus saw the 1,000 people sitting at the bottom of the hill. By the way, Jesus had a mega church. He had the ability to have a mega church, but he didn't. No, they're all sitting down there at the bottom of the hill, and Jesus looks out and sees the multitudes. He says, oh, my God. He goes up the mountain. Follow this. Seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain. He saw the crowd, and he fled. You can read this however you want to. And when he had finally sat down up there, or when he's got everything figured out, it's amazing, his disciples came to him. He didn't go to them. they came to him. And basically, they came to him because they said, I'm just kind of paraphrasing, imagine this situation. They came to him because, Lord, what are we going to do with all those people down at the bottom of the hill? That's why they came to him. What are we going to do? Get all these people down here, Lord. What are we going to do? And Jesus said, go out and teach them about the end times. Go out there and teach them about the rapture. Yep, go ahead and tell them. No. Hey, Kev, what are we going to do, Lord? And he opened his mouth. It's amazing. And he taught them. Who? Did he teach the multitudes? Folks, read what the Bible says. He taught them. Who's them? The disciples. They came unto him. Because you'll see a picture of the Sermon on the Mount, and there you see Jesus sitting in front of a big crowd of people. And that isn't, that's not, folks, that isn't what happened at the Sermon on the Mount. Why? Because Jesus teaches the principle here. And Jesus said, you know what? I can go up out there and I can get a megaphone and I can talk to all them folks. And then they'll forget it. But you can go down there and you can tell them what I told you. It's called discipleship. He said, those people down there, they first and foremost, they wouldn't be able to hear me. But if they did hear me, they'd be all, they're going to go back to their hometowns. They're going to go back to their churches. They're going to do whatever they want to. They hear me. It's like going to a rock concert. You're going to go hear the Beatles. You're going to go hear the Rolling Stones. You're going to go hear the Beach Boys. And then go home and tell everybody you went and heard the Beach Boys. So he didn't do that. He said, man, there's a big crowd down there. Hey, folks, come on up here. Hey, come on up here. His inner circle, his team, his 12 disciples, right? And so what did he do? Well, he opened his mouth. And he taught them, saying, hey, hang on. Somebody help me out here. Who did he teach? I'm going to pause. I want to hear. And he opened his mouth and taught them. Who?
His disciples.
His disciples. The Sermon on the Mount, as we've been taught, was a lie. That was not how it was. It was an inner circle meeting with his boys. And he opened his mouth and he taught them, saying, taught who? Who did he teach at the Sermon on the Mount? He didn't teach them to talk to the multitudes. He talked to his boys. And here's what he told them. He opened his mouth and he taught the disciples, saying, blessed are the poor in spirit. There's the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn. Now, hang on. He didn't just say these things. He taught about blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom. He taught them about blessed are they that mourn, for they shall become. He didn't just say these things to them. He taught them. He said, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst. He taught them about every one of these issues. He didn't just take notes, have them all take notes of these five things here. Blessed are they which hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall. He's teaching this to the disciples. We're going to go teach the people. Blessed are the merciful, for they obtain mercy. Scrolling down, Spence. Folks, this is really good. I don't know if you like it or not. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peak of masonry, blessed, for they shall be called the children of God. He said, boys, go teach them this. I don't know if somebody reads it differently than that. This way I'm reading it. He is not talking to the multitudes. Christianity has never been about going to some big church and be recruited into Christianity by a guy standing in the pulpit. It has never been about that. Christianity is about evangelism, meaning I'm teaching you, you go teach them. And then he tells them this. Says, look, I'm going to teach you all that. I'll give you a warning. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. I'm not going to get into that. The kingdom of heaven is within. It's not someplace you're going. Kingdom's already here. It's within. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. It came. came. The kingdom came. Spiritual kingdom came. Kingdom is within you. So he said, blessed are you when men fill your church and love you and worship you and buy your books and listen to your CDs all the time. No, he says, blessed are you when men revile you and persecute you. Yeah. You notice the yous? You notice the yous? And shall say all manner of evil against you. You. Falsely. Let me repeat it. Blessed are you when men and women shall revile you and persecute you, say all manner of evil against you falsely, because you're standing up for what I'm teaching you. And even though they get pissed off of you down here, rejoice. Be exceedingly glad, because there's a reward waiting for you, and it ain't on the earth. Hey, folks, he's talking to his disciples. He's not talking to everybody. He said, congratulations, because, boys, there's a long chain of people who've been persecuted long before you ever came along. And they treated them like scum, and they're going to do it to you all as well. But, he said, you're the salt of the earth. See, they knew what salt was, a valuable commodity. They sold it. It was a preservative. He didn't say sugar. He didn't say you're the gold. He didn't say you're the silver. He didn't say, he said you're the salt of the earth. They knew what that meant. By the way, who's he speaking to? The multitudes? No, he's speaking to his disciples who came to him and he spoke. And he said, hey, disciples, you're the salt of the earth. Hey, George McCloy, you're the salt of the earth. Lorraine, you're the salt of Mary Beth. Hey, you're the salt of the earth. Hey, Christy Henderson, you're the salt of the earth. Ray, you're the salt of the earth. Betty, if you don't go and tell them, they're not going to hear it. You're the salt of the earth, Betty. Oh, Betty, you want to take them to your great big church where there are 5,000 people in there and don't do shit? Oh, I'm sorry. You want to take them there? You want to take them to Sunday morning performance? Is that what you want to do, Betty? You're the salt of the earth, but when that salt loses its savor, it'll never be salty again. See, when you refuse to be salt, when you refuse to stand up and speak the truth, can you ever be salty again? Can the Lord ever trust you to be salty again? If you denied him at that moment, he said, you deny me then, I'm going to deny you before men. You won't stand up and tell them the truth. He's talking to the 12 disciples. He said, you got you a job, and it ain't a good one. If salt loses its savor, it won't be salty again. It's thenceforth American Christianity, good for nothing, to be cast out, trodden under the foot of men. Yeah, we're going to elect officials that are going to put their foot and crush the gospel of the kingdom of God like a bug. Elected officials, unelected Supreme Court women. I got to do this first real quick, Spencer. Pull it up for me. Where is it? Go to my Spencer. Go to my Facebook page real quick. I'm going to show you something. I'm going to show you judgment on America. Okay, go down, Spence. Go down. There it is. No, that's not it. Go on down. There, no, good. Keep on going. There it is. There's judgment. Those are the five people. Look at them. Those are the same people that said, hell, anybody can be an American. Anybody see anything but me? Go back. Let's go back. Where was I? Oh, I was in Matthew. Go back to Matthew. But if the salt loses its savor, it's not going to be salt again. It's good for nothing. A lot of your churches are good for nothing. Jesus said it. I didn't say it. Why? Because they've lost their savor. Jesus said that. Your town's filled with them. Because it's not salty anymore. It's adopted the culture. It hasn't impacted the culture. It's adopted the culture. To blend in, to be accepted, to be loved, to be approved. It's good for nothing except to be cast out and to be trodden under the foot of men by putting five women on the Supreme Court and letting them rule over men. You don't have to say amen, and you can get pissed. I don't care. You're the light of the world. The city set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men keep the truth inside their church. Neither do men keep the light inside the church. Neither do men keep the light inside the church. But they put it on a candlestick. And everywhere they go gives light. Everywhere they go. And they're hated for it. Hated of all men. By the way, a lot of Christians don't like other Christians. A lot of pastors don't like other pastors. They're in competition. Yeah. Let your light so shine where? Before men. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. I'm curious. When you go to church, are they seeing the good works? Wait a minute. I get it. You're showing the good works to the people who are already on the club. You're showing the good works to them. Come to church on Sunday, and we'll all get together, and we'll all shine one another's armor. Tell each other how wonderful we are and how blessed we are. And then we'll go out into the culture and society, and we'll hide. Think not that I came to destroy the law of the prophets, because I didn't come for that, brothers. But I came to fulfill it. What? Yeah. Okay, I'm going to get off. Our job, Jesus told his disciples to go and teach. Where? Into the world. Meaning outside the confines of our saved congregation. And what we're seeing right now is our churches have become the salt of the church, not the salt of the world. In fact, the last thing churches want is to be hated. Tell that to Tony Spell. Oh, those nicer than Jesus churches, oh, they're beating up Pastor Tony. That wasn't very Christian. He's not a Christian. That's what the Bible says. You're going to be hated of all men. That's what it says right there. That's what it says is going to happen. Your enemies will be those of your own household, what Scripture says. Because at the end of the day, you ain't serving the Lord. You're serving the community. You want to be liked. You want a lot of people come to your church. Because size means success. And so we have these great big mega churches all around, even here in Central Ohio. And they have no impact on the culture. None. Spencer, go back up the top of that. Where are we supposed to go? Hank, help me out here. Help me out here. Go ye, where did he say? Go ye into all the world. Doesn't it say that? Scroll down, Spence. Go ye into all the world. I think it said that. Keep going. Well, there it was. You went by it. I think. Go into all the world and teach them to observe all I've commanded you. Are you even trained to do that? Even trained to do it? No. Well, I'm looking over here. I'm just looking over here. Where I ought to go next? I'm going to shut up. I'm going to let you come in here, and then I'll hit you some more here. Do me a favor, Spence. Jack, I hope you don't mind this. Jack McCarthy sent me something today, and I copied Jack's Facebook page, and I want you to come in here a second. You pull that up there, if you could, Spence. Jack's, click on Jack's Facebook page. Do you have it? Can you do that? And I just saw some interesting thing on there. Thanks. On Jack's Facebook page. Scroll down a little bit. Jack McCarthy wrote this. The Supreme Court, thank you. The supremely not supremes found perversion legal in the flawed 14th Amendment. Same-sex marriage is a constitutional right guaranteed by the 14th Amendment to the United States Constitution. What? Same-sex marriage? There have been same-sex marriage throughout all history, ever throughout history has there been anything such as same-sex marriage. But in the landmark 2015 case of Obergefell versus Hodges, the Supreme Court, which isn't supreme, ruled that the due process and equal protection clauses protect the fundamental right for a man to have anal sex with another man. That's what that says. And we ask ourselves, does the Supreme Court of the United States overrule the supreme being? Churches should have been marching in the streets. So the legal breakdown is the due process clause. The court ruled that marriage is a fundamental personal right and an essential liberty under the 14th Amendment. And that the due process clause states cannot restrict this liberty in discriminatory. Scroll down, Spencer. So listen, so the Supreme Court then came down and said, listen, can't have gay marriage, states' rights issue. And what do states do? What do states do? Ohio legalized it. Oh, and now the churches endorse it. Yeah. Why? Because tolerance and diversity is the salt of the earth. What else did Jack put up here? It's kind of interesting. Scroll on down on Jack's Facebook page here. I'm bringing in here, Jack. I know you got something.
You're just going to get me in trouble.
Well, I won't get you in trouble. Hey, folks, it's what we were talking about the other day. Courts don't make law. Courts do not make law. Courts do not make law. Say it again. The Supreme Court cannot make a law saying it's okay to murder your baby. Courts interpret laws. Courts cannot make law. When the Supreme Court makes a ruling, they do not change the law or make a law. They make a ruling on whether that law is constitutional or not. The Supreme Court has an opinion and it does not legalize anything.
Boom.
The Supreme Court simply says that can't be enforced. Rewrite the law. Jack, am I right on that, Jack? When the Supreme Court downset comes and says that a woman has a right to an abortion, it does not legalize abortion. It says there's no law. You're going to have to make a law. We think that the Supreme Court is law. Am I losing anybody out there? I'm not trying to lose you. I'm trying to show you where we are. Wouldn't that, folks, we will never, ever, ever, ever regain America through the court system. We never will. We will never do that. I won't get into stare decisis and all that stuff and everything. No. Spencer, throw that picture of the Supreme Court up there again, if you could. The one I showed you Hey, folks, there's a majority. There's a majority that said anybody can be a citizen. You can get on a boat, you can sail in, you can be pregnant, and you can sail into California, get off the boat, and have yourself a baby, and that baby is an American citizen, and therefore all the benefits and rights of American citizenship follows that. The 14th Amendment was written to give blacks equal rights. Joanne, come on in. And Jack. I'm going to get you in here, Jack.
Can we challenge that? Take that to court and
actually, what's really, really good is they can. Some stuff I read, they really opened a Pandora's box because yes, now the legislature can in fact codify into law a process by which to do it. However, Republicans are bought and sold. They're not going to do it. See, it's just a facade. They want us to believe that we have control of our government, but we don't, friends. We really don't have control of our government. Our government is bought. People own our government. These folks here, how could somebody explain to me, of all the legal minds in the world, Sotomayor, how the hell did she get in there? Ketanji Brown Jackson, how'd she get in there? Elena Kagan, well, I know. Tolerance and diversity. Diversity is our greatest strength. So as I say right there, now we got five women on the Supreme Court. Right? Courts do not make law. Spencer, while Jack McCarthy's talking to me, I'm going to show you a video. Come on in, Jack.
Okay. So look at what we talk about all the time, Coach. The fundamentals and the words. How long have they been indoctrinating everybody that there are three co-equal branches of government? See?
Uh-huh.
See? Simple. Just a simple little nuance that goes through every thought process. And we've lost our ability to think. Look, and look at this. Look at what's going on. That movie that just came out, that Citizen Vigilante, okay, it's fiction, but its premise is based on an actual happening case in the UK where a judge exonerated the seven Muslim boys that raped that girl. That's what the whole movie is premised on. And that actually happened. The rest of it is all movie. But they were acquitted based on traumatic immigration. What is that? So that's where you're going. Traumatic immigration will be found in the 14th Amendment. See?
Emotionalism.
Okay. So what's the answer? The answer is not, you're never going to fix the 14th Amendment. There's too many fingers in the pot. So the answer is what Ohio did in 1867, after they ratified the 14th Amendment, they went back and said, somebody had a brain, went back and said, that's not a very good amendment. We should rescind our ratification. And they did. And they didn't re-ratify the 14th Amendment until 2004. See? And it would only take seven states to rescind their original ratification of the 14th Amendment for it to fail for a lack of enough states, the three quarters, to states to ratify.
Good luck, Jack. Sorry. Good luck with that. Good luck.
Wait.
We can't pass the save act.
Just a second. You can simply do this. Legislators could do this really simple. You go to the Democrat side and you find a few of the rabid abortion people and you tell them, I see what's going to happen here. If we don't rescind the ratification of the 14th Amendment, they're going to make abortion illegal at any stage. You need to help us. They're going to make abortion illegal. You don't want that to happen, do you? No, we're not going to do that because we don't play that way. You're a bunch of morons. Okay, I quit.
Yeah, a bunch of morons, right? We're programmed. We're programmed, first of all, that the courts are the final say, when they're not. Hey, friends, let me ask you something. If you went to a doctor and whatever it is, and he gave you an opinion of what your problem is, and he prescribed medicine. And you go home and you take the medicine and you don't really get better. And you talk to another doctor and another doctor said, oh, wait a minute. Well, no, you're not that medicine. You're taking the wrong medicine. Try this medicine. Try this medicine. Do you continue to take the old medicine the other doctor gave you? Or do you go back and say, wait a minute, that ruling, that doctor was wrong. That ruling was wrong. And let's do this. Let's change the law, which is what Jack's saying. Now, this is critical. Michael Perutka, I don't know if you guys remember him. He ran for president of the United States in, golly, what year Michael Perutka run for president of the United States? Anybody remember out there?
I think it was 04.
04. I'm not bragging. I know Michael Perutka. He's a good man. He ran for president of the United States in 04. And he made this song. He can play the guitar. He's quite a guy. I haven't talked to him in years. I assume he's still doing well. He made this song when he was running. This is so critical. Courts cannot make law. When the court said there's a right to an abortion, that did not legalize abortion. Had to be a law passed to legalize abortion. You understand, friends? There's a law passed. You have the right to drive a car, but yet there's a law passed of rules and regulations you have to do to drive the car. You can't drive the car without a license. So when the Supreme Court said, we read that there's no right to an abortion in this, and there's no right to an abortion in this, in the Constitution, states, you're going to have to do it on your own. It didn't legalize abortion. Do you get that? The Supreme Court did not legalize abortion. The Supreme Court said there's no right to an abortion in the Constitution. That's what they said. They didn't legalize it. They said you can't find it anywhere in the Constitution. States' rights. Michael Perutka made this song. Go ahead.
There's a battle going on, a war for your soul. It's a devil's deal. It's mind control. They want you to believe that you have no hope. Counting on the fact that you are a dope. Well, they tell you the rules, tell you what to eat. They know that you won't question, they know that you don't read. We've lived a lie for way too long. It's time to know right from wrong. No matter what they told you all, courts and judges cannot make law. The case law method has a fatal flaw, because courts cannot make law. Courts cannot make law. Courts cannot make law. The case law method has a fatal flaw, because courts cannot make law. Congress makes the laws and the courts make none. That's in the Constitution, it's in Article 1. Look it up, read the words, use your own two eyes. Know it well, mark the spot, have it memorized. Tell your children, tell your mama, tell your family. Tell your friends, tell your neighbors if you wanna be free. You won't learn the truth in government schools. It's up to you to know the rules. No matter what they told you all, courts and judges cannot make law. The case law method has a fatal flaw, because courts cannot make law. Courts cannot make law. Courts cannot make law. The case law method has a fatal flaw, because courts cannot make law. Oh, Dred Scott was not law, you see. They ignored the court then, and so should we. Slaughterhouse and Mickey Mouse and Roe v. Wade. Opinions are not how law is made. That's not the way that our founders planned. Now wise up and rise up across the land. Spread the word so everybody knows this emperor has got no clothes. No matter what they told you all, courts and judges
judges cannot make law. The case law method has a fatal flaw, because courts cannot make law. Courts cannot make law. Courts cannot make law. The case law method has a fatal flaw, because courts cannot make law.
Okay, so I hope you understand. Case law method means this: stare decisis means previously decided cases is the law of the land. Folks, that's not true. So when the Supreme Court rules that there is a right to an abortion, they don't legalize abortion. They tell us the law needs to be rewritten. Because why? Courts cannot make law. Courts cannot make law. What happened when the Supreme Court said there's no right to overturn Roe versus Wade? What happened? Well, it went to the states. Why? Because states can make law. The people voted on, dumb people in Ohio, voted for the right of a woman to murder her baby. Now, that's law because they voted it. The judge can't make something legal. The judge can only say, you can't do that. Change the law. You can't do that. But see, when they did Roe versus Wade, the court said, you can't do that. So then you got to make a new law. And we didn't. Am I making sense? It's so clear. Folks, we have no control over those people right there on the screen. How do you recall these guys? And politically, what would that be like? To try to recall Ketanji Brown. I would be a racist if I did that, right? If I tried to recall Kagan, I would be anti-woman, right? And if I was trying to recall Sotomayor, I don't even know what I would be. And Coney Barrett, who was appointed by some good conservative judge, Trump, I think, she's playing on the other team. And John Roberts is probably compromised in more ways than we even know. One of them about the fact that John Roberts and his wife adopted children from another country. Google it. In a real shady deal. And he's controlled. Oh, boy. Come on, Jack.
Okay. So, again, little nuances that we've lost track of. The Supreme Court justices serve in time of good behavior. It's a life appointment, but the caveat is in time of good behavior. They can be removed for bad behavior. Oh, wait a minute. Why don't we do that? Well, because like you said, then you're going to get called bad names. The other thing is, one of the questions that you just posed was the reason for every state constitution says this sovereign state. See, we are not a nation. We are a confederation of sovereign states. But then they say, oh, the supremacy clause of the Constitution supersedes that. No, can't do that. Can't do that. The child can't rule the parent. See? We lost these very simple fundamental nuances, and here we are. They're gonna make rape legal.
Okay, Jack, so I'm gonna send Spencer $5. Because look what he pulled up. Chief Justice John Roberts and his wife Jane adopted two children, Jack and Josephine, who were born in Ireland, but officially adopted through a Latin American country, likely Brazil, in 2000. This arrangement reportedly circumvented Irish adoption laws, which at the time required adopters to be a resident in Ireland for at least 2 years, a requirement that Roberts did not meet. Jeff Klein.
You were talking earlier about what the churches aren't doing. I just noticed yesterday or the day before, little church here in the area, the guy used to preach some good messages, fiery. He used to preach on generational curses and what the devil's doing to destroy families. And he was fiery. We visited a few times 5 or 6 years ago. I liked him. But all of a sudden now, just the other day, they changed their sign. It used to always say, Pastor such and such, 10 a.m. Sunday morning. That's all it ever said for years. Never changed it. All of a sudden now it says Sunday morning, 10 o'clock, coffee and donuts, and Thursday evening, pony rides. I'm like, oh my goodness. The courts are coming. The communists are coming. Now we're going to do pony rides.
Amen. 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 Oh my goodness. All right. I'm going to dip my toe in the water. Is it okay? Somebody egg me on. Somebody egg me. I said, go ahead, coach. Got your back, coach. Somebody got to do it before I play it.
Do it, coach.
Go for it.
Okay, I need an amen. I need two of you to say, go for it, coach. Go for
amen.
It. All right. Thanks. Now, are we going to be friends when it's over? Or are you going to suck your thumb and go home? Now, hang on. Let me back up a second. Can somebody tell me right now today, what should be the focus of every Christian in America? Somebody, please tell me, what should be the focus of every Christian in America?
The kingdom.
Go ye into all the world.
Spread the gospel.
And teach them to observe all I have commanded you. That's right out of the horse's mouth. Go ye into all the world. But see, modern American Christianity, for good or for bad, is focused on end time theology. We're so worried about the end that we won't work in the present. In fact, Jesus said, work while the sun shines, for a day cometh when no man can work. And I hate to tell you this, we need to evangelize Israel. They don't need to evangelize us. We have it totally and completely backwards, called the New Testament. And here's the truth. Christians in America today do not believe the New Testament in regards to the fact that Jews must be saved the same way you and I have to be saved, the exact same way. They have to receive Christ as their Savior. Now, how many of you live in a family with somebody who's not saved? And you know they're not saved. But you want to encourage them, so you pray that they're saved, but you know they're not. Why? Because they've never confessed Christ as their Savior. And I want to ask you something. Can the Jewish people get into heaven without confessing Christ? Well, that would go against everything. It would go against everything. No one comes to the Father except through me. Doesn't it say that? No one comes to the Father except through me. And we've been convinced somehow that Netanyahu and his crew, they get to come in just because they're born in the kingdom, right? So we'll make some of you mad. Play number three. Look, before I play it, say, we love you, coach. You don't have to say it. We love you, coach. We love you, coach. But I want you to consider this. Hang on. Are there two ways to heaven?
No.
One way to heaven. How do you get to heaven?
Jesus Christ.
You get to heaven by honoring Israel? Is that how we get to heaven? By honoring Israel? Honoring those who have a birth connection but haven't received Christ in their heart. I know a lot of people who've been to church in Ohio, right around here, their whole life, and have never received Christ. Do anybody know anybody? Do you guys know anybody goes to church and they're not saved? You know they're not saved. You know any of them? I know a lot of them. Why? Because there's one way to heaven, and it's not being born Jewish. Sorry. So I don't know who this guy is. I saw this video and I thought it was golly. Can I play this without somebody shooting me? Play it.
I'm going to say something that's going to be unpopular. You're probably going to get some angry responses. But I blame American evangelical Christians for this. I believe that much of American-based evangelical Christianity is a cult. It's not a religion. It's a cult. And they're constantly trying to recruit people into their cult. And as a result, they've allied themselves with Zionist Israel at the expense of the original Christians in the region, the Palestinian Christians, the Lebanese Christians, and others around the region. I don't think they care at all about Christianity. I think it's all about their own deluded view of Zionism and of the apocalypse. If you speak one-on-one with an American evangelical, not all evangelicals, but these Zionist ones, they will tell you that they're close to Israel because they want all Jews around the world to return, to move to Israel, to hasten the return of Christ. Because when all the Jews, according to the book of Revelation, when all the Jews return, that's when the Messiah comes and everybody lives happily ever after following the world war, the apocalypse.
Yeah.
It's all nonsense, of course. Mm-hmm. But everybody else has to pay the price. How many thousands, maybe hundreds of thousands, have died over the years because of this stupid cult-like belief that they can force the hand of God?
This Boom! Come on in, Alan.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
First of all, we need to recognize when you say Jew, which one are you talking about? The genuine or the counterfeit?
I got
that
you.
That needs
Good
to
point.
Be specified.
Good point.
Because the counterfeit, Revelations 2:9 and 3:9, that is what is running Israel. That is what's running our own government.
Revelation 2:9, Jared Spencer, bring that up. Revelation 2:9 and 3:9. He said, keep going, Alan.
So if that's what's running our government, there was a question asked thousands of years ago, the King Jehoshaphat, in regards to him helping King Ahab. Should we help those who hate the Lord?
Mm.
So if we can't answer that question, not only is our government, we need to cast the beam out of our own eye before we take a thorn out of somebody else's eye.
I know thy works in tribulation. I know thy works in tribulation and poverty, and I know the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews and are not, but are of the synagogue of Satan. Revelation 3:9, Spencer. Behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews and are not, but do lie.
Bingo.
Well, what do you do with that, folks? Say they're Jews, but are not, but lie. That's the Bible, isn't it? I think that's right out of the Bible. Well, thank you, Alan. Come on in, Mark. You guys going to leave now? Going to leave because we're having a civil discussion here about what's going on? They say, well, Coach, it's happening over in the Middle East because that's what Jesus said, it was all going to come down. Okay. I'm with you on that. Aren't we supposed to go get them saved? Aren't we supposed to go get the Jews saved, tell them that Jesus is the only way? Or do they get to heaven just because they're born? It's unbelievable how stupid we are. Go ahead, Mark.
Yeah, it's very interesting what was there. If you think about it, Old Testament, New Testament. Back then, it mattered if you were Jewish.
It did. It did. In the Old Testament.
But then, what about there is no more Jew, Greek, or Gentile? What about that verse? Does everyone just ignore that verse? You're in Revelation, written before Jesus was resurrected. There was no grace. There was only the Jews trying to keep their bloodline pure for Jesus to be born or whatever. You know, all of these things were fought over back then. There were fake Jews then, which people worshipped. Also, think about this. Sadducees and Pharisees are there then, they're there now. But people worship them.
People worship. Mark, American Christianity does. American Christianity does.
While Jesus walked, there were Jews worshiping vipers and serpents. There were also Jews who didn't worship the vipers and serpents, and those are the ones that the disciples were sent after. They were not sent after the synagogue of Satan Jews.
No, that's right.
So you got this group of Jews back then that were divided. You could call it a denomination, Coach. You had the state, had the state Jews, which followed the vipers and serpents, which still do today. And they're the homos over in Israel.
Spencer, quickly, I'm with you, Mark. Spencer, Galatians 3:28. Some of you folks are really nervous.
And it,
I can feel it.
I'm going to go back and say there's no more Jew, Greek, or Gentile. That's New Testament. People don't want to believe in it. And the double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. You can either worship Jews and try to separate the good ones from the bad ones, which all need to go know Christ. It doesn't matter if you're a good Jew or a bad Jew.
That's right.
Know Christ.
You don't obey your way into heaven, folks. You don't follow laws into heaven. Hey, Spence, real quick, make that Galatians 3 and bring. I want to read 20 through 28 here. Hey, folks. Thanks for staying with me, even though your top of your head's about to blow off. Now, a mediator is not a mediator of one, but God is one. Is the law then against the promises of God? God forbid. For if there had been a law given, which could have given life, if you could legalize life, verily righteousness should have been made by the law. But the scripture concluded, well, we've all sinned. Everybody sinned. Everybody. And that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that were born with the right bloodline. Is that what it says? I'm like, wait a minute. Doesn't say that, does it? Might be given to them that believe. But before faith came, we were kept under the law, set up unto the faith which should afterwards be revealed. But the law was good because it was our schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. Scroll down, Spence. What? The law was a schoolmaster to bring us to Christ, that we all might be justified by faith. Not by following laws, not by bloodline, justified by faith. But after faith comes, we're no longer under that schoolmaster.
Boom.
But you are children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Therefore, there's neither Jew nor Greek. There's neither bond nor free. There's neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you be Christ's, then you be Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. See, Jesus was the head of the family, not Abraham. If you're Abraham's seed, you're in the inheritance. If you're Christ's, you're Abraham's seed. Folks, this is so clear. This is Christianity 101. 101. There's not one Jew, not one Gentile, not one black, not one white, not one Chinese, not one Mexican. None. No one comes to the Father except through him. We either believe that or we don't. See you tomorrow.